From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show. We're on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that by building the Backyard Advantage, the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. And it's based around this culture of love, right? Helping one another, showing love to one another. And today on the show, there's going to be a lot of love because I've got my son, Marcus Haney, and we're going to do a little bit of talk on entrepreneurship for sure, a little bit of talk on perseverance and resiliency because I don't think anybody knows more about it than this man. But we're also going to be talking about his business, Allegiant Vets. I am sporting the new gear, supporting the cause. And Marcus, welcome back.
I love the shirts, looking sharp. Appreciate you supporting.
Yeah. So those of you that have been watching the show, listening to the show for a number of years, may remember that there was a time when Marcus was on the show and he and I co-hosted the show together. But even prior to that, when we first launched the show, Marcus was the sort of the inspiration behind how we were going to drive the show. And so he was really there in the beginning. So when we talk about going down memory lane, he was back there at the beginning. So Marcus, welcome back. How does it feel to be back? Now you're driving this super successful organization, Allegiant Vets. How does it feel to be back?
Feels great to be back. Love chatting with you. We were back in the trenches in those days, right? And I think that's sort of resembles what I'm in with Allegiant Vets today, in the trenches, making sure that we help transitioning service members have the best opportunity when they get out of the military.
So in the trenches, I like that term because I think if we spend too much time up in the grandstands or up in the press box or the executive box, we don't get the real
get a little distracted.
Touch. Yeah. You don't really understand what's going on. The truth is in the trenches. So you're discovering some truth. I want to get into that in a minute, but let's take a trip down memory lane because when I think of the Marcus Haney story, it's almost like the Haney family story, but you are one of four of us that really has, I think, got known for perseverance and finding a way to win. Tough wins are sort of the story of your life. I remember, you know, when you first decided to go out for football, you won the Perseverance Award. And then moving up along the way, you know, we won a lot of championships together. You ended up playing high school football, and you were always an undersized guy. You were a very, very good baseball player, but you were maybe underestimated at times, and so you had to work a little bit harder. Talk to us about what perseverance means to you.
It's hard out here at 5'8", you know, and trying to be an athlete. Perseverance means to me the willingness to sacrifice everything to get it done. And I think that that's sort of how you raised me to be, right? As somebody that if I believe in a cause, if I believe in something, that I do whatever it takes to accomplish the mission. And so that's what perseverance means to me.
Do you feel like that's innate, where it's more like a God-given trait that the Haneys tended to get? Or like, I was pretty tough. Your mom wasn't as tough on you as what I was, but I was tough on you and your sister, and you guys are both now animals.
Well, you know, you say they got a little tough on them, but I mean, I think that I was perfectly parented is what I say, right? You say you're tough. I say I probably needed it, right? I mean, there were some times along the way I give you the run for your money as well. So, I will say I perfectly parented. Things aren't always easy, right? And I think that shapes who you are as a human along the way. And having failures is okay, right? And getting knocked down, brushing yourself off, and getting back in the fight is the name of the game. And if you can outlast your opponent, then you end up winning.
Yeah. So we got our book here that was written by our good buddy, Richard Botkin. It is, you know, this is not a book promotion, but I think it's emblematic of the way you have approached your adulthood and your childhood. So you, for those of you that don't know, Marcus was wounded in Afghanistan in a firefight, shot in the leg. We've talked about that on the show a few times, but What you may not know is that this book was written after Marcus got out of the military. He helped me with the podcast, as we mentioned, and he listened a lot during the podcast. He would be there in studio, Sports 1140, listening to the leaders of Sacramento, the entrepreneurs of Sacramento, share their stories. And so when this book was written, it was written through your eyes as you compared it back to your time in the military, your time on the battlefield.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a interesting, I'll call it a master's in business, right? And, you know, speaking of perseverance, all of the individuals that are in Are Always By Your Side book, none of them didn't go through life undefeated, right? Yeah. They had ups and downs. They had times where they were struggling, even like a Kevin Nagel, right? Getting the guy to come knock on his door to collections. Like, oh man, there was times where the most wealthy people were not seeing the vision, or they're seeing the light at their end of the tunnel at that time, but they kept battling and putting one foot in front of the other. And I think, you know, that's what it takes, is continue to put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, no question. And so speaking of that, so you're now helping veterans as they are at the end of their commitment in the military. So during your end of the commitment in the military, you were in Afghanistan, right? So for a while, and then you came home suddenly. Yeah. Four surgeries later, you're a wounded warrior. And so your transition out was different than most. Talk to us about your transition and then maybe how it contrasts with the veterans that you're working with at Allegiant Vets.
Yeah, so I was in the Sangin Valley, Afghanistan in 2012 and ended up getting shot by a 7.62 round in the right thigh. I guess I zigged when I was supposed to zag, but got transferred out of the hot zone really quickly. Thank goodness for all of the great personnel on the ground. You know, we train for these events, and, you know, when it happens, we obviously show up and make it happen. So I transitioned out of the Wounded Warrior Battalion, which is kind of interesting because everybody's injured or wounded and getting out in a mental place that is maybe not looking at what's next for them.
Right. They're in a physical recovery.
Right. It's a lot of depression, a lot of, you know, medication being taken, right? And not like a place where you're looking for a mentor to help you get through, right? So I transitioned out of that unit into the civilian world. I was away from my unit that I went, that I was with for my entire 4 years.
Right. And, okay. So you're with this unit for 4 years in the Marine Corps, your infantry
1-7,
people,
baby.
The 1-7. You become, you guys are like brothers, and a lot of those young men were like family to us as well, and still are close. But then you are evacuated out, and then you're in San Diego at the Balboa Hospital, and everybody else is still in Afghanistan.
Right.
And then when they come back, which is still toward the end of your commitment, they go back to 29 Palms, which is a different part of Southern California.
Yeah.
And you're in San Diego.
Alone.
And,
alone, unafraid, hole in my leg. You know, had some personal stuff going on too. Like I went through a divorce at the time, which I don't really talk about, but, you know, it was a challenging time of my life to be trying to get out of the military, right? So what happened was I ended up moving back to Northern California without a plan, right? I didn't have a plan in place. I was like, I'm just going to wing it, right? Getting shot. I probably got out of the military a little earlier than maybe what I would have otherwise, right? I might have done some more time if I hadn't been wounded. Not sure, right? I might have done some other time. So I got out and came back to Northern California with no plan. And, you know, we started doing some house renovations and stuff like that. And I was back in the grunt space, right? I was moving around, changing out light fixtures, and like, man, I didn't want to do that anymore. So, luckily, you introduced me to Rick Nelson, right? Direct Technology, and I'm like, man, this is my call. I'm gonna go be staffing guy, right? And I got into technology staffing and helping the organizations find the top talent that they needed for their organizations in the technology space. And we ended up getting a contract with Microsoft. And we were recruiting service members, and I got pulled onto the project to help bring members out of the military into this Microsoft program. But Microsoft didn't end up hiring the amount of people I thought they should have out of the program. I busted my tail and made promises. You guys are going to get interviews and jobs are coming after this training. And there wasn't jobs associated with it. So that frustrated me. And so that's when I came to you at the board of Allegiant and said, look, I know we're doing this wheelchair, Action Track wheelchair program, but I think we can affect more service members. And I think we can affect the actual core of the problem. When folks get out of the military, they do not need to be left alone. There is a better way to do it.
So when, so now Allegiant Vets is an organization that helps military members while they're still in the military.
Correct.
Okay. Can you walk me through that and then what they come away with that maybe you didn't come away with? Now, you were injured, wounded, but even your buddies didn't come out with a solid plan.
No, it's not something that is looked at, unfortunately, by the military as something that every service member needs, which I am in complete disagreement with. I think that every service member needs a proper transition out of the military. They need time to decompress and take care of the things that they need to do in their life and probably learn a new skill set, right? And so our program helps service members on the last tail end of their 6 months of their program. They come to us, come to our community. We have 1,400 active skill bridgers in our program today. Those are active service members, and they are enrolled into our community, and they start training with us in one of 12 employment verticals, from cybersecurity to human resources. And so that is basically their job for the duration of the week, to include building out their network and finding maybe that opportunity that they're going to go to next. And so we really provide them with the skills, the community, and the confidence to go out and get that job and be a little selfish in this time in their life, right? Because they've been serving the military for the last however many years. Now it's okay for your time to be selfish. Think about you create a plan starting, right? And then get out with a community behind you where they're cheering you on, celebrating wins, and giving you that backstop that I didn't have, right? I didn't have a community. I didn't even have a group of friends that were still there, right? And unfortunately,
right, they're not back here in Sacramento.
They're not here. And I don't know who am I going to call. They got their lives going on. It's not no negative, right? But there's no infrastructure for that, right? There's nobody that is in my, you know, culture group that, you know, the VFW and the American Legion all do great things in their own regard, but there's nobody that's my age bracket that's going out there and doing cool stuff for veterans, right? And so I want to change that.
Yeah. So when people get out, so thinking about the numbers, people are getting out in record numbers, excuse me, from what I understand.
Yeah.
But you, like, hundreds of thousands of people per year get out of the military, right?
A couple hundred thousand.
Hundred thousand people per year get out of the military. You have 1,400 in your program, and I know there are other programs as well, but what percentage would you say of people that are getting out can go into a skill bridge? Because, I mean, that sounds like, I mean, my thinking is that the lion's share of these people that are getting out of the military today do not have a skill bridge, do not have Marcus Haney in their corner.
Yeah, about 20% of the transitioning military, right? So every single service member gets, when they are recruited into the military, they go into this DEP program, right? So they basically go into a pool of individuals that are awaiting boot camp, which normally is a few months long, so they can get acclimated and rolled into what's going to be their new life prior to shipping off to boot camp. Yet when it's time to get out, you have no time given to you. It's basically drop your hat and go. Thanks for coming. You're needed for basically what is, you know, your unit's job for the day, right? So you're needed for command and 10, et cetera. So only 20% of the transitioning military gets a skill bridge. It's beyond, it's command approval, right? So it's got to be brought down by your higher ups. If you didn't do a good job in the military, you might not get this opportunity to go spend the 3 months transitioning out, right? And so we get a lot of non-approvals by commanders, which is such a shame to me, right? I think every service member deserves the same amount of time, or, you know, allotted amount of time, to transition out with skills, confidence, and a community to back it, right? And I think if we did that, then we can eliminate the 22 service members taking their own lives every single day. And it's so easy. agency. We're doing it day in and day out. And, you know, that's why we're ranked the number one skill bridge in the country.
So much of this is about confidence, right? Getting off on the right foot gives Absolutely. You a bit of confidence. You know, you come and you may even if you're transitioning careers, sometimes you feel a little bit lost. But if you can get off on the right foot kind of quickly, then there's not that time where the doubt creeps in, the things that might make you depressed or sort of creep in, and you're alone during these times. And so, you know, you reference the suicides, which we know are, you know, a major, it's a horrific problem, but all the people that are just, I look at it as wasted talent, right? We have America's finest people. These are people that are, you know, have volunteered to go and do what a lot of people don't want to do. And people like you, some of you went out and did combat, but other people, you know, did all these things that you've got proven teamwork, proven courage, proven ability to get things done, lead. And so it's like it's the best people in the world getting out, this pool of people. It's a crying shame that those people would be left in a position where they're lost in so many occasions. How does that happen?
I don't know. I couldn't agree with you more. Our community is full. I mean, full every day. I talk to them every single day, week in and week out. And these people are the best humans, first of all, but best people in the country with the right kind of skill sets that they can parlay with just a little bit of help, right? Just a little bit of shaping and a little bit of, hey, here's your opportunity. Go here versus go there. Right. And I think that, unfortunately, service members get personified as damaged goods, right? And that is what I aim to change in my journey through Allegiant Vets, is to have service members not be looked at like they're the wounded people, right? They're the damaged goods that we're only giving them opportunity because we have to for the DEI initiatives or whatever the case may be. But in reality, these people are the best people you can get on your freaking team. So, like, I am talking to companies and trying to reshape that messaging and reshape that methodology, because truly, like, right, that is a big problem for our community, is that we get personified as victims, right? And that allows service members to take on that victimization, and that bogs them down and gives them that inability to see where the opportunities are and that they are the freaking best. And so that's what I'm trying to say to them every week, is like, don't listen to all the nonsense. Put your head on a swivel, hit the accelerator, and let's get you into a spot where you and your family are happy and comfortable, and you're living the life that you want to. You've been thinking about getting out of the military since you got in. Let's all be real, right? Now, what is it that you want to do now that you got out? Let's put your goals and accomplishments into a framework, and let's go get them. Let's go get them together.
Yeah, you talk about helping them get their dream job. I know that's a part of it. When I think about a great potential employee or business partner or somebody that I would want on my side, and I look at the people coming through our program, the people on your team, these are the finest young men and women that you would ever want to meet. So if I'm an employer thinking about growing my company, instead of thinking about a veteran as you use the term DEI, right? It's like, well, I better get my allocation of, you know, underrepresented, you know, people. Wait a minute. No, this is a group of people that are like the best. And what's interesting about your program is compared to other, just the veteran population at large, right? Because I think once veterans get into the workforce, or they end up proving themselves and they end up doing great. I think anybody who has hired a lot of people knows that veterans make great project managers. They lead teams. They many times can transform companies. And what I don't see is this desire by most companies to go get veterans specifically, where you have a pool of veterans that haven't been touched, right? The ones that are already out there in the workforce, everybody knows them, so they're locked in, they're loyal for the most part, right? Yours are the, usually you're the people that haven't even started applying for jobs yet.
Exactly, untapped, right? Yeah. They're looking at our program as their time to go see what they want to do and what the opportunities look like. And I would agree, like companies are for the most part not saying, hey, veterans is where I'm focusing. But the ones that are, they are winning. If you go look at the number one companies like FedEx in the world, they're CEOs of former Marine service member, right? So some of the biggest companies in the world are all ran by service members. Right. And so if you look at the proof, it is in the pudding, right? So get yourself some folks that are going to change your orientation of your organization.
I would agree with that. The people that work for you or work with us at Allegiant, they're some of the finest teammates that I've seen. And I've had hundreds and hundreds of employees, and they are that. But, and you might think of veterans as, let's call it pieces of the puzzle to just crank out. You think of like a FedEx, and it's like, well, when it absolutely has to be there overnight, you know, you've got these very machine-like people that can follow orders and do their job and execute and all that. But there's a tremendous amount of creativity coming through your program. You're a grunt, right? You're a military, infantryman, and you're one of the most creative people I know. The creativity among service members is equal to artists and, any other walk of life. There's all kinds of creativity and imagination coming from your Skillbridge recipients.
100%. All you gotta do is spark it a little bit, yeah. Right? And so on our growth, on our trajectory, we've hired specifically through our Skillbridge program, right? We've hired 14 people that were former Skillbridgers.
Okay, they're coming through your training program, yes. Through your curriculum.
They've stood out to us. They've said, I love what you guys are doing. And how do I get on board? And we give them an opportunity, and they rise above each and every time. And so we are so lucky. Our people are so wonderful that are on our team. Allegiant Vets team is amazing, and they're all service members. And we have a couple. We have one, Danny Breck's daughter is our number one employee, and Tierney Breck. She's an amazing human and rock and roll, and she's our only non-military person, but she's a military spouse, military daughter, right? And the people that come through our program, as you alluded to, have dreams and visions of doing stuff other than what they did in the military. More often than not, some want to be an artist. I want to start my own business. I want to become a human resources director, whatever the case may be. All you have to do is spark a little attention, right? Spark a little creativity, give them the opportunity, show them the light that it exists, and they are willing to do whatever it takes. And the service members come with that term that we talked about earlier, perseverance. That comes innate into those humans. And so maybe that is the answer. Maybe it does come innate to those that are interested in jumping into the fire, right? The ones that sign up to serve, the ones that are willing to jump in front of, whatever needs to come for the rest of us all. And I think that's what service members are.
Well, you mentioned the term perseverance again, which is really the theme for our family. I think we just keep battling, maybe too dumb to figure anything else out. You just keep rolling. It took a long time for us to turn this podcast into a business, right? It led to angel investing and it led to a lot of opportunities that we didn't really see until we launched the Growth Factory and the Backyard Advantage. And now that's creating a life of its own, but it didn't happen overnight, right? An overnight success takes thousands of nights. And I think you're a story of that as well. Think about where you were, what you were doing when COVID hit. You were putting together this veteran community, and then, obviously all the face-to-face stuff had to stop, and you were able to pivot once or twice into Skillbridge, even though it might look from the outside like almost the same thing. You were able to adapt and overcome and figure it out. And there was a lot of perseverance in some of that in that time.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, our original thesis was a physical location over at McClellan Air Base, right, where we had 10,000 square feet, where we were putting on physical career fairs, and we had a training facility, and we had a co-working space. Yeah, and as COVID hit, it really took us out of our game, but we had to adapt and overcome. I think there's a term that the Marines say, right? It's retreat. Hell, we attack in a different direction. And so that's really the motto of what we are at Allegiant Vets. And we've continued to attack in a different direction than anybody else. And I think that's what's made us stand out to the veteran community, that we are stepping in the breach for service members with them in mind, not the companies in mind or a employer in mind, but it's with the service member in mind. And I think that's what the real differentiation between us and the remainder of the people that are looking to affect service members' life post-military is that we truly care about what they do as successful, and it's what they want to do.
So, you know, we talk about like when you start something, it's easy. You and I get excited about stuff. You want to start it, and then you realize it's harder than you think, and then you got to push the rock up the hill, But then when you finally get to the top or you turn the corner, you have a breakthrough like what you have had, you got to think that that's a really great feeling. You were recognized as the number one skill bridge or the most loved skill bridge in the country. Is that right? Yeah. Something like that?
Rate My Skill Bridge rated us number one skill bridge in the country. Yeah. So most loved, I guess, most skill bridgers by per capita. So I think we have the largest in the country by far. And we're the only ones that are doing what we are doing. And we're trying to be different than everybody else and lead from the front.
Well, you mentioned the term 24 lead. Explain where that comes from. 24 lead. You and I were talking about that before the show. What does that mean to you, and how does it apply to what's going on at Allegiant Vets?
Well, back in our Bobcat football championship winning days, we had a play that we ran a lot because it worked. You see the 49ers give the ball to Christian McCaffrey over and over and over again up the middle. Why? Get 3 yards a carry, the 24 lead. It works. It sets up everything else, right? And so we run our operation at Allegiant like the 24 lead. It's bada bing, bada boom, bada bing, bada boom. Same thing in and out. Everybody gets the same feel, touch, look, and attention so that, you know, it is repeatable and scalable. And I think that's why we are able to do what we are able to do and have 1,400 service members show up time and time again, have accountability. And, you know, we're even producing, you know, 200 plus jobs out of our program every single month. So, you know, with our pig-headed discipline, you know, keeping ourselves focused on the 24 lead, sometimes we got to do an option or two, you know, just to keep the defense guessing. But more often than not, we're running the 24 lead, get people in our program, provide them with some skills, give them the community and confidence to walk out of our program with success. And, you know, we have a 99.86% satisfaction rate.
So with your existing team, you talk about, you know, for entrepreneurs out there that are thinking about, or maybe they have their own business and they're like things are chaotic and they're running 1,000 directions, like in almost any business. But if you can create the 24 lead, the systems that you know work, you use the term scalability, and then things become more plug and play. And so getting to a point where you can do this plug and play, run the same play over and over, the 24 lead or whatever you might want to call it, these are invaluable places to be in your company. And typically it's hard to do when you're first starting out, but it should be, I think, the goal of every company. It reduces friction for everybody if you can have things that are systematizable, repeatable, and you use the term scalable.
Yeah, I think it's, due to the team that we have, obviously, to be able to do this. I think we're in a virtual environment as well, so that makes it a separate challenge. So, you know, even our team, we meet every day. We do a team get together virtually on Zoom, and, you know, we talk about the 24 lead, right? And we break out into our sections, and we talk about the 24 lead. Is everybody blocking? Is everybody, you know, getting in the right position? And then we break for the day like a huddle, and we go continue to run the play time and time again, and everybody's singing from the same sheet of music or running the same play. It causes us to look at each other every day and help other people get better too, right?
Do you say help you hold each other accountable?
Exactly.
Like, right? Oh, you missed your block,
hey,
dude.
Exactly. I saw you missed your block. I picked you up, no big deal, but just so you know, make sure that's your guy, right? And so with that cohesive unit, everybody running the 24 lead, everybody running the same play, it allows us to cross train too, right? So people can walk into different environments and help out on different projects. And so with the same play, the guard can know the tackle's job and vice versa. So teammates sort of end up becoming interchangeable, which allows us to not fumble the ball when someone's out sick or something along those lines. So
our society is changing. It's changed in the 70s when I grew up. It's different today, and it's becoming different again. You know, people come back from the Vietnam War, and people were not super high on the military during that period. They thought we shouldn't have been in Vietnam, and yeah, some people got spit on and so on. 9/11 happens, and everybody rallies around the idea of, you know, the military and going and keeping America safe. And you joined in and around a time when it was very prestigious to join, and you wanted to join, and it was almost hard to get into to get the spot that you want. So now, fast forward, you went in 2008. Yeah. What year did you go? 2008. Now the world is different again. We're out of Afghanistan. Maybe we're tired of war at some level, and you know, the kids are playing video games, and you know, society has changed. What's the appetite for people wanting to go do things like what you did? Is it diminished?
I would say probably yes. I think with technology comes new ways of doing things, right? So everybody has to adapt to include the military, right? So we've had to adapt to the UAV world and do other sort of fighting.
Drones.
Drones, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Drone technology and drone fighting. And, you know, I think that combat troops like myself are probably the last of a dying breed a little bit, right? Because everything's virtual. And, you know, I don't know if that's kinetic war is where are we going to go in the future potentially, right? But I think cyber is a really big deal. So I think that if I was talking to a military recruiter saying, how can we get more people excited about what we're doing? It's position the military to associate with the younger generation, right? How do we get them into cyber warfare, right? How do we talk to them about being, people that fight for our country on the computer, right? We need those people. So we need to train those people. We need to find who they are. We need to get them into our military because it's important for us to remain safe and remain the country that we are.
And if you were advising, let's call it the military recruitment decision makers, so make it cool, get on their level in terms of wanting to use technology to keep America safe. But what about the idea that what a great way to do something important for America, serve our country and keep America safe, but yet when you come out, you have these skills that are very, very transferable to today's environment, right? You got taught how to kill people and break things, but people coming in now are really more technologically oriented. And you're technologically oriented, but it's just because you're kind of curious about that stuff.
I had to train myself. Yeah no doubt. And I think that if service members, or let's call it the recruiting community, looked at SkillBridge as a sales tactic, right? If I was talking to a young person about coming and joining the military, and they talk to you about what you're going to do, et cetera, well, what about when I get out? What are the opportunities like, right? And I would utilize programs like ours to catapult those opportunities for incoming service members, right? Okay. So I think that, you know, recruiters should look at programs like ours and say, hey, if you come to the military, you'll get done with your 4, 6, 10, 30 years. This organization is there for you to turn to when you're done, and they're going to take care of you like we did getting you into this puppy. Right. So, you know, you're going to get the same.
This is not a dead-end job.
Exactly. This isn't leading you to be looked at as damaged goods. This is the best opportunity in your life because, you know, we've set it up as such.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so thinking about other advice that you might give now that you're part of a high growth startup that really was not quite an overnight success, even though it sort of feels like it because it's happening right before our very eyes. Any, besides perseverance, any words of wisdom that you might share with those that are in the fighting a good fight for entrepreneurship?
I would say chase your dreams, right? And what I mean by that, and that's not to mean cliche, but think about what you really want to be, right? Think about what matters to you. Think about what matters most in your life and go put yourself in a position to affect that, right? Your dreams are real if you make them a reality. You can talk about it or you can be about it. And my suggestion is chase your dreams with pig-headed and vigor discipline and go make it happen. And you got guys and gals that are standing here like us, always by your side.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate you.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in the segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.